Hello, and welcome to another Health Essentials podcast. I'm John Horton, your host. High-intensity interval training, or HIIT, sounds pretty intimidating, especially if you're not a workout warrior. But HIIT workouts are for everyone, and they're really good for those of us who are older or sporting a body type that isn't exactly fit-tastic. So how can you get past the fear of jumping into HIIT? That's what we're going to talk about today with exercise physiologist Katie Lawton. She is one of the many trusted experts at Cleveland Clinic who pop into our weekly podcast to offer tips on living healthier. So with that, please pardon the pun, let's hit it. Welcome to the podcast, Katie. So great to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a while.
It has. And you and I, we've talked about a lot of fitness topics over the years. And the thing I always love is how you make exercise feel so approachable. I mean, the reality is a lot of people get scared with the idea of starting a workout routine. How can folks kind of get past that fear?
I really like to try and find things that people like to do. If it's not something that you're not going to like to do, you're not going to really care to or make the time to necessarily do it. Starting easy, I think, is also, short, if you want to even think of it that way, like 5-10 minutes at a time. And then I think as you get better, you kind of can kind of increase time or intensity as you, you know, want to or see fit or, you know, as you feel more able to.
Well, today we're going to raise the intensity level a little bit because we are talking about high intensity interval training, or HIIT. Can you kind of walk us through what exactly that is?
So I think it's a pretty broad term, I think, for the most part. I think the word high can sometimes intimidate people as well. I mean, you could even think of it as going from low to moderate intensity, but I think it's just some way of varying intensity of cardiovascular exercise. And it can involve, you know, if you want to do it on a treadmill, if you want to do it running, if you want to do it with bodyweight exercises. So there's various different forms that you can kind of do it within, but it's varying intensities of going from, you know, either low to moderate intensity and moderate intensity, holding that for a period of time and then dropping back down, or even vice versa. You know, you can go from moderate to like a all out high intensity and then coming back down to a moderate intensity.
Well, and I think kind of what you said at the beginning about how people set their own bar. When you think high intensity, you think like this intense, like just crazy workout. But the reality is it what's high for everybody is a little bit different.
Very relative. Absolutely.
Now, so when you do HIIT workouts, like how long do those typically last?
I mean, you can probably do anything from, 5 minutes to, I think it's hard for people to do a HIIT workout for more than an hour. Again, depending on how long your rest breaks are or your moderate intensity is. But it can vary in time. I don't usually see them probably going longer than an hour.
Okay, and that sounds like that's on the higher end.
I would say, yeah, you'd have to be pretty fit to be able to sustain something like that. Now, granted, it also depends on what your rest time is or what your moderate intensity is for, or how long you're essentially holding the high intensity for. So HIIT is a very broad term, but it's just varying intensities during your workouts.
Well, let's talk about what kind of activities are, I guess, hittable. And it seems like they're mostly kind of aerobic sort of activities. So kind of walk us through the things that usually you do within a HIIT workout.
If you want to think about like a Tabata workout, so 20 seconds of exercise with 10 second rest, that's kind of one example that most people use. That's a little bit more timed. So you work really hard for those 20 seconds and then you take a 10 second rest. So that would be something that you would probably do more of like a HIIT workout.
What sort of stuff do you do within that thing? I mean, is it, cause it's usually like aerobic activity.
Yeah, right. You want to throw in burpees, you want to throw in like sprints, you want to throw in rowing, you can throw in biking, jump rope, mountain climbers, step ups, lunges. I mean, you can, those are generally kind of more of the aerobic type of movements, during exercise that would create your heart to kind of increase for a period of time.
And the idea with that is then you do that sort of, you're on maybe a treadmill or a rowing machine or a Peloton bike, something like that. You go really hard for a set amount of time, maybe a minute or 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever you set, and then you kind of dial it down, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. And for some people, I don't want to intimidate people again when we talk about really hard, right? So we want to talk about increasing intensity for a period of time as well. So it could mean, again, increasing more than the intensity that you were doing before, right? So Again, for some people, it is going to be hitting it really hard. For some people, it's just going to be increasing the intensity just a little bit more than what you had already previously been doing, whether it was kind of resting, and then now we're going to pick up the intensity a little bit, or going from, you know, like a 1 to 3, you know, on the 0 to 10 scale to a, you know, 4 to 6, you know what I mean? Kind of somewhere in those ranges. Or if you want to hit a 10 or 9, you can do that as well.
It sounds like it's very personal. So you kind of set it where you want to do it, and then you can kind of adjust and raise it up as you feel comfortable.
Absolutely. And I usually will kind of, you know, you have to think about what your goal of the workout is, right? Is it to influence more on the cardiovascular side? Is it just to kind of get moving? You know, so I think the goal of the workout also needs to be considered when you're also kind of looking at what you're going to be doing that day.
What would different goals be with that? I mean, are you talking whether it's just aerobic or whether you're looking for strength or endurance or kind of where does the goal formation fit?
Yeah, or you need to do both your strength and your cardio for that day. Is it one of those workouts where you just have a quick moment to do something and that you haven't really done any strength in a couple of days and you haven't done cardio in a couple of days? Do we need to kind of compare the two together? Or is it one of those things where you might be running a distance race and you need to incorporate more intervals or a little bit more higher intensity to improve your cardiovascular performance into your workout. So yeah, it can be, you know, either or.
With strength training, how can you work that into or kind of modify that into a HIIT workout?
You can add dumbbells, right? So if you add squats with some dumbbells, you know, either sometimes even bodyweight squats are just enough for people to kind of to increase strength, depending on how many repetitions you're also going to get into. You can use kettlebells. Kettlebells are actually a really good source, I think, for, you know, adding in some cardio into some strength as well, because, you know, kettlebell swings, kettlebell snatches, kettlebell cleans, you know, those are the more complex movements, but they're actually very much cardiovascular based as much as they are strength.
They are. And I know when I've done it, you always think of strength training as just like, you know, it's not something that's going to get you out of breath. But when you start doing those in sets and by the time you're done, you are huffing and puffing.
Yep. And so depending on, you know, how much weight you're using, I mean, step ups can be something else. Lunges, you know, those are usually movements that I find that will actually really increase people's heart rates when they're actually doing those types of movements as well.
Now, I think as we talked about right at the start, like the idea of a high intensity workout, it can be a little scary for people. So if you're kind of starting out and if you're not in, you know, top fitness form, I think a spot which covers a lot of us, how can you kind of safely start HIIT and make it where it's kind of enjoyable and you kind of can progress into it?
Yeah. So of course, obviously we need to talk to a doctor and making sure it's safe for you to get into any further cardiovascular exercise, especially kind of more of a cardiologist or your primary care, just to making sure that it's safe, you know, for us to get into some cardiovascular exercise. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, you could even start it from a walk to a light jog, or if you want to even do like a walk to a faster paced walk, right? Doing it for short distances, driveway to driveway, or if you give yourself like a goal to making, you know, when you're walking outside, give yourself a goal to say, I'm going to try and jog to this light post. Sometimes that's actually just enough for some people to ramp things up a little bit for them.
And then you can slowly, as you feel more comfortable, start expanding that a little bit. I know it's that old cliche. You have to walk before you run. It sounds like it's very true when you start talking about this sort of workout.
And then you usually what you would do is, yeah, also kind of try and increase the amount of time that you're holding that longer distance for, or that the increase in intensity for. You increase that amount of time that you're holding it for. And then, you know, ultimately too, we want to try and look at increasing the overall duration of the entire workout itself, as well as you're also getting more cardiovascular fit.
What about when people have some existing health issues? Because I know that can be a concern for a lot of people. If you have maybe a little bit of a heart condition, or you have some arthritis or anything else, are there some accommodations you should make when you do it? Or how should you kind of start that program then?
Yeah, depending on where your arthritis is, you know, that's going to depend on the type of equipment or the mode of exercise that you're generally going to do. Running, most people will generally kind of steer away from, you know, some more running. Maybe it's on elliptical, maybe it's biking, maybe it's swimming. With any type of like cardiovascular concerns, A stress test, I mean, is probably going to be one thing that we're going to have to look at first, maybe even a stress echo to see if we can even, you know, what heart rate zones we kind of need to try and steer away from that are kind of where you start to have more heart irregularities that we need to kind of be secure of, or making sure your blood pressure is under control. You know, those are some other things that we also kind of have to really making sure that, you know, those things are a little bit more monitored at times too.
Yeah, so it sounds like if you do have some of these existing health issues, definitely talk with your healthcare provider ahead of time and kind of get a plan in place as to how you're gonna start your program and kind of the sort of intensity level you're gonna do it at.
Correct.
When you start looking at doing that, what kind of payoff can you get by doing a HIIT workout? Like, what kind of benefits will people see?
Cardiovascular performance. I mean, and then generally that will kind of lead into some other things. Ideally, you know, diet is a huge factor into a lot of things, but, you know, cholesterol, blood pressure, some blood sugars, those are all things that we generally see improvements on. Again, but on the other side, consistency, right? So you have to be doing it consistently enough for us to also making sure we're seeing some of these results. If you're just throwing it in there on occasion, you're not going to really necessarily see the impact health-wise. But, you know, and like I said, diet is another factor into a lot of it. So I usually say you cannot exercise a bad diet. So no matter, you know, if we throw exercise into the mix, you know, I can't promise that these are going to make, you know, ultimate changes. But, you know, ideally, if we kind of combine the two, we should ultimately see some changes to, you know, those factors and weight loss. I mean, I get, you know, but again, that's also a lot of diet based as well.
Like, how many days a week should you try to work a HIIT workout in? Is it something where, I mean, you're looking at like 2, 3, 4, like, how often should you do it?
So it depends on, again, how intense we're physically working to. Usually when we get into those like ultimate, you know, when we talk about HIIT and people going all out, you know, a 10 out of 10 once a week is really what I recommend, is when if you're physically getting to your complete max, because it takes a lot longer for us to recover from those type of workouts. If you're doing like a light to moderate, you know, kind of within those ranges, you can do that, you know, 7 days a week if you really wanted to. So I guess that just kind of depends on the intensities to truly which we are kind of performing the HIIT workouts as well.
How much should you let discomfort sort of be your guide with that? Because I know that's one of the things that scares people. People, you don't really want to hurt that much. You want to hurt just enough to feel good. So where should you kind of draw the line, or how should you pay attention to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because otherwise, too, I don't want it to completely scare you away from doing exercise altogether. I mean, again, the goal is to keep it consistent. You know, and I think depends on where you ultimately want your overall goal to be as far as your health and fitness, I guess, is the other, you know, aspect, too. If you want to be an athlete, you know, an elite athlete, yeah, we have to actually get into those really uncomfortable levels. If you're just looking for general overall health, yeah, you probably are going to have to get into some of those uncomfortable zones or doing things that you don't necessarily like to do at times, but it shouldn't be all the time, I don't think. But, you know, again, I want you to do something that is comfortable, but that's going to benefit you overall. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are times that we're going to have to go into those parts where it's not uncomfortable. And I don't want to talk about like joint uncomfortability. Like, there are those certain aspects
just
that I don't
feel a little tired.
Yeah. I mean, cardiovascular wise. Yeah. Now, and again, you know, not making sure that we're talking about getting into any intensity that we shouldn't be getting into, but more or less, yeah, I think that it should feel a little uncomfortable.
One of the things we always try to do on the podcast, Katie, is kind of offer people tips that they can use once they finish watching or listening. So, give us a couple things we can look for to start a HIIT workout program.
One thing, you know, if you're going to be doing a HIIT workouts at home, I like to use a lot of apps and websites and those types of things that are kind of guided for people to work out at home and to kind of encourage us to kind of just press play and start a workout potentially. Right now, granted, I guess there's a lot more involved in that, but it is a lot harder when we're trying to come up with it and do it on our own. Whereas if we can just press play on a video, it is a lot easier for us to kind of push through, or, you know, to actually continue with the workout.
And will those help you with timing too? Because will that help with timing too? I know we talked with, like, sometimes maybe you do 20 seconds on and 40 seconds of kind of like a more of a rest or a kind of, you know, downshift a little bit on your workout.
or if you have like only 20 minutes to do a workout, right? So you can find a workout and you can see at the end of the video or how long it should take you by the end, and it says 20 minutes. Well, there's your 20 minute workout. You know, so I do think that if you're in a tight schedule or if you're just really not sure what to do, sometimes, you know, that's generally kind of a good avenue for some people to look into for at home workouts, especially.
What else do you have? What other tips can you throw out there?
Accountability partners. Those are always one of my big ones.
The body
scheduling
system.
The exercise, the body system. Absolutely. I have a lot of people that have, are much more successful. I find if they have a friend, a family member, or, if you want anything like personal trainers, it's a time and a place to be somewhere. So I think that is generally where scheduling conflicts or scheduling over exercise becomes a lot harder when you have someone to actually work out with.
How important is it to build rest days into your kind of routine?
Again, it just depends on the intensity of the workouts. But, especially when we get into those heavier intensities, yes, we do require more rest. If we're talking about light to moderate exercise, you can technically do that every day. With strength training, depending on the muscle groups that you're working out, it is going to be more imperative for you to take more rest days between muscle groups. But it doesn't mean we should complete, if you do strength one day, doesn't mean we have to take a rest the next day. That's where we can probably do more moderate intensity. So it depends. Again, the programming is going to make a big difference, into some of it. And depending on where you are, if you want to talk about like training, or depending on, how long you've been doing it for, if you've just started, if you've been doing this for a really long time, that's, there are some variables into some of that too.
And this is something I always struggle with, but how important is it to kind of add a little warm-up routine in? I mean, can you just kind of jump into a HIIT workout, or should you do a little stretching or moving around first just to kind of warm everything up?
I am the warm-up queen.
Okay. you would disapprove of how I do half of my stuff then.
Probably. I usually take my patients through a pretty lengthy warm-up. For the most part, and to the point where a lot of them think it's part of the workout. Actually, one of them today was like, does this count as part of the workout? And I was like, no, this is actually just the warm-up. I spent about 10, 15 minutes, especially more before strength. It could probably be a little bit less before running, as in your case. But before a strength workout, I can spend about 10, 15 minutes doing a warm-up. And the importance of it too, I think it is just help getting into the workout a little bit more. Sorry to cut you off.
No, get you moving. Yeah, get you into that groove.
Yep.
You had mentioned earlier about one of the really important things is picking something that you like to do. And it seems to me that HIIT is very, it's a flexible sort of program, and that you can work in so many different activities or movements ways to, I guess, exercise. So should you really focus on picking the things that I guess will make you want to do it?
I mean, not necessarily. again, we talk about that uncomfortability level being kind of, a factor into it too. And, wherever your weakest point is, sometimes that's where we should actually be training into a little bit more. So is it into those moderate intensities? Is it heavy intensities? Yeah, I mean, you should be thinking about adding some of that in there. But that's why you would probably go see a personal trainer if that was something you wanted to start including, because they're going to be the ones to force you to do it. Whereas, if you're doing it on your own, you're probably not going to program that in there. And I will say I am guilty of that as well at times when I'm doing my own workouts.
I think we all are. There's those things that you're just like, I know I should do this, but yep, I just don't want to. So yep, that would describe pretty much every core workout I think I've ever started trying to do.
Well, and I'm assuming too, it's not why, I don't know if you swim, but I'm assuming you run, you choose to run instead of going swimming, because some people with swimming, it just seems so daunting. But is it a bad thing? No.
Well, before we say our goodbyes, Katie, and start planning our future workouts, because we should all be ready to go after this. is there anything that we missed or anything you want to add on the topic of HIIT?
Making sure that, you have doctor's clearance to do it. And if you have any questions, either contact an exercise physiologist or contact one of your doctors. Generally really good sources, to determine whether it's, safe, and what forms of exercise are generally pretty safe for you to do as well.
And then it sounds like once you get going on it, just kind of stay positive and keep at it, and just watch how you progress.
Yeah, absolutely. I think usually once people start to see the progression, that's when you do tend to really see and get motivated by it probably a little bit more. Sometimes even like logging it or keeping track of it, you know, near distance duration, you know, that's where also I see people getting really excited about, oh, look where I was and look where I am today. I mean, I think that's also a lot of fun to watch too.
Great advice as always. So thank you so much for joining us today, and look forward to having you back.
Thanks for having me.
Don't be scared off by the idea of doing high-intensity exercise. Regular HIIT workouts offer enormous benefits no matter your age or health status. So if you'll allow me to go into full cheerleader mode for a moment, know this, you can do it. Till next time, be well.
Thank you for listening to Health Essentials, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic and Cleveland Clinic Children's. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit clevelandclinic.org/HEpodcast. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician.